I call this meeting to order, Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, at 6:01 p.m. I will now do roll call. Board Member Horvath.
Here. Please push the button on the right when you say here so it records.
Here.
Board Member Landau.
Here.
Board Member Muthart.
Here.
Board Member Saleta.
Here.
Board Member Temple.
Here.
Board Member Veres.
Here.
Board Member Wood.
Here.
I will now read the call to the audience. If you wish to address the board on any items on this agenda, please complete a blue speaker card located on the agenda table by the doors at the front of the room. Please indicate on the speaker card which item number and topic you wish to speak on. If you wish to speak during call to the audience, please specify that you wish to discuss when completing the blue speaker card. Once completed, please hand it to the recording secretary. As the agenda item comes up, you may stand. At this point, you will have 3 minutes to speak in a courteous and respectful manner to those present.
We can't hear you.
Press the button to the right.
I am. There you go. Thank you. Sorry about that. So if you have a blue card, you can bring it to me now. If it is on an agenda item, you will wait for that item to be announced. And I will now hear from... I will now open the call to the audience. William Thomas, if you would like to approach the microphone.
I wanted to talk on an agenda item tonight, so I'll...
Oh, I apologize. That one got ahead. Laura Smith.
I'm unclear on the concept. Mine might be an agenda item. It's regarding the preserve, so should I wait for...
Still on
the
item.
Yes, you can wait.
Okay.
Chuck Davis.
Right now, you'd be speaking on an item that has nothing to do with anything else on the agenda we don't have a topic for.
Well, then I will not speak.
Okay, I would like to close the call to the audience. And Joyce Jones-Ivy, for council liaison comments, please.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. I just want to start by welcoming all of our new, and I know some of you are returning, advisory board members. Welcome. Thank you again for your commitment to Parks and Recreation and helping us, your council, make the necessary decisions to provide the best park experience that we can in our community. Just want to give you a little bit of council update and what we've been doing. And if you cannot hear me, please wave your hand so I can speak louder. Council has recently provided a conditional use permit for Surf Through Car Wash, which is going to be located in our marketplace near In-N-Out Burger. The concern that most of us voiced, of course, was about the water issue. And we've been reassured that this is going to be reclaimed water. And they do have a system where this water will also be recycled about 82 plus or 2 minus 1 or plus 2% on that. We also provided a CUP, which is a conditional use permit for a storage facility to be located on Tangerine and La Cañada near Lehman Academy. There will be made some road modifications on Tangerine, so this will be a right in and a right out facility. Also, between the facility itself and Lehman Academy, there's about 400 acres that Lehman Academy will be purchasing for future use as recreational area for the school. We also took a look at the signage for Steampunk Ranch, and we did make some modifications because of how some of the buildings are located on that property. The signage cannot be seen that well, so we did approve an increase in signage size, and we also increased the expansion of the color palette. So I'm looking forward to seeing what variety of colors and signs we're going to be having at that location. I also want to reach out for Project Grad. I know most of you are aware that Project Grad is a community supported project for our graduating seniors, and they are in desperate use of volunteers. If you can please go to cdo.p.g.decorations, or you can also put in the word volunteers at gmail.com. I'd certainly appreciate you doing that. Or you can also go to the Amazon website. There's wish lists there to help provide costumes for this year's theme. Also, you can buy gift cards to help CDO buy the necessary supplies to make this a memorable night for our young people. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilmember Joyce Jones-Ivey. I now open the regular session agenda. And item number one, Ms. Christy Diaz-Trahan, the floor is yours.
Introduction of new board members.
Thank you. I know it's a little clunky because we're not used to being in here, so all the technology and even sort of the grandness of here of being here. So thank you, board, for being here. This is our first meeting for 2023. We have a lot happening, and I'm excited to have you here. We do have three new board members filling the vacancies. Board member Gary Temple, board member Philip Saletta had previously served and had were excited to rejoin the team. So thank you. Welcome back. And board member Veris is new to the group. And so at this point, I would like to have an opportunity just to have a brief introduction to yourself. Or not to yourself, to your peers. And so that way, this is, again, the first opportunity to get to know each other. We're usually sitting around a table. It's a little more, you know, family dinner-ish is usually our style. So just peek over your shoulders and introduce yourselves, please. Mr. Temple.
Sorry about that. You know, as Christy mentioned, I served two-year terms. Previous to this, the biggest aspect of that time was when we made our general plan, which a lot of you are seeing the fruition of that at Naranja Park. I've been a resident of Oro Valley for 7 years now. Took the Academy of Class, decided to get on Parks and Recreation, and I've enjoyed it immensely ever since. Thank you.
Thank you. Board Member Veris?
Hi, my name is Emily Farish. I am fairly new to Oro Valley, but came down and got my degrees at U of A and met my husband and never left. my children and I spend almost every day in our Oro Valley parks attending our programs, and I'm really excited to bring a voice to my peers who utilize the services very regularly. And I'm excited to learn more.
Thank you. Board Member Saletta.
Thanks, Christy. Glad to be back on the board. I really appreciate the opportunity to serve again. And you know, I'm very interested in all the physical activities that Parks and Recreation does, the various programs you do for kids. So that's why I really wanted to do this again. So glad to be here. I've been a resident of Oro Valley for over 17 years and previously served the town as the water utility director. So just glad to be back. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll open it up to the rest of the board if you would like to have any comments.
Welcome.
Thank you.
How's it feel to sit on the other side, Mayor Joe?
Thank you, Christy.
Was it your intent, Ms. Diaz-Trahan, to actually take this out of order now so we can elect our officers? I'm telegraphing a lot.
Yes, we are. So our chair and vice chair termed out. And so we started this meeting without a chair and a vice chair. And in order to proceed, we need to make some adjustments to the agenda. So I would like to move agenda items, I believe it's four and five.
Five and six.
Five and six, thank you. Up so we can begin with the election of a chair and then the election of a vice chair. So Mr. Attorney, do we need a motion?
What's going to happen at this moment is we are going to have your clerk read item number five into the record, and then somebody's going to have to move to determine who our chair might be.
Okay.
Regular session agenda item number five, election of Parks and Recreation Advisory Board Chair.
Somebody shoot a motion, please.
At this point, I would take a motion.
I would like to make a motion to nominate Matt as our next chairperson.
Second.
Any other motions coming? Would you all like to vote?
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? So thank you. Board member Matt Wood is our new chair. And at this point, I would like to open it up for nomination for vice chair.
We first need to have it read into the record for number six. I know you're in a hurry.
Efficient, George.
Item number six of the regular session agenda, election of Parks and Recreation Advisory Board Vice Chair.
Please toss out that motion.
I motion to nominate Gary as vice chair.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Nay? All right, very good. Thank you. Welcome, Gary, as our vice chair.
Item number two on the regular session agenda, review and approval of the May 17, 2022 minutes, regular session minutes, August 16, 2022 regular session minutes, and the November 15, 2022 special session meeting minutes.
And a lot of times there's some confusion here. If you're new to the board, you are absolutely allowed to vote on these minutes.
I move to approve the minutes as read.
I second that.
So we have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, same sign? Motion carries.
Agenda item number three, introduction of consultants, board discussion, and project overview of the Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve.
I'm just going to keep on helping out here. Generally, there will be a presentation, and then after that, there are a hill of blue cards here from which our chairperson gets to determine if he wants to hear from you, and I'm betting he will. And then that's when you have your opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Andrews. So, hello, everyone. The last Parks and Recreation Board meeting we had, you were introduced to our consultant team, Sites Southwest. The project managers were Liz Cole and George Ravensluth. They were here as part of the community engagement process and information gathering. The team, or primarily, we actually, the team was back last month as another touch point. They provided some visual boards and general information to say this, from what we heard, this is what it looks like on paper, on a board. And we had another community engagement process. We had an open house and we had stakeholder meetings, as well as direct email communication to project manager Liz Cole. As such, there have been some updates and revised looks of the plan, and that's what we're going to go over tonight. So we want to make sure, the intent of tonight is to make sure that visually it's being represented what we've heard from the community. This is another opportunity to hear from the community, and then afterwards we'll hear from you. George is online via Zoom, and will guide us through this presentation. So it's going to sound like a voice. You're not going to see his face. Again, it's a little clunky, but that's Jim preparing you for that. And then afterwards, after we hear from the community, then we have a conversation with you. And the goal of this evening is to get a consensus for direction. Our next step is to present to Mayor and Council next month on March 15th. And so with that, I will turn the presentation over to George Radnovich. Oh, look, there he is. Hi, George.
Hi, everyone. So my name is George Radnovich. I'm a principal with Sites Southwest, which means I'm an owner. And Liz is our project manager. Liz is actually in France for her birthday. So she couldn't make it tonight, but I've been involved the whole way, as Christy would tell you. I think I've met some of you as well. And so what I'm going to show you tonight is a progress print. So it's where we are now, not necessarily where we're going. It is definitely not the end result, but it's what we have amassed in terms of our understanding of the project from citizens of Oro Valley. And it's also understood that we looked at the land in a very judicious way and tried to offer some interventions and some improvements that try to strike this balance of a natural area that obviously used to be a golf course that would become a better representation of itself now as a preserve. And so the PowerPoint presentation is relatively short. There's only 15 slides, but there's a lot of information there. And so I'll present the whole group of slides, and we can revisit any one of them as it relates to questions or comments, anything that anyone would like to discuss in relation to the master plan development. And again, this is a draft, so we're here to listen as much as talk. Does anyone from the board have any questions or concerns just to start with?
No, there's a lot of heads shaking here, George. So okay. If we want to get started with the presentation, I think we'll
let's
make a technology switch, right, Carlos? There we go. So can you see the presentation, George?
I cannot.
Okay, so I am on page 2 where it talks about master plan goals.
Got it. So the main thing we heard through all of the work that we've done so far is, you know, the kind of old phrase, keep it simple. And in this case, keep it simple and natural. And so the master plan goals are to really use that as a starting point. And they are to improve, and I can't read them from here. So I think what I'm going to do is put on my own PowerPoint. I'm not going to read from them, but it's a good guideline. So there are some cultural features around the preserve that should be kept, and they should be embellished and emphasized. Some of them should be left alone. There are also some ecological features, mostly the desert flora and fauna around the preserve, which is excellent. There are educational opportunities within the preserve. We do have a sub-consultant in relation to that. Excuse me, I just caught a cold today. I actually didn't work today. The person is Jenny Rigby. She's with Acorn Group. And her company does interpretive signage and interpretive master plans that follow right along and dovetail with master plans like the physical master plan that we are doing. And so she was part of our team, and she's working right alongside of us on the interpretive aspects and the educational aspects of the preserve. And I wanted to mention, I was really happy to hear what Saleda, I think that was Mr. Saleda, said, because he said he wanted to return to the board because of the kids and their education. And so that has a lot to do with this. And so what we're planning to do and what we're going to show you tonight is kind of sensitive, passive recreation area that fits in with its natural surroundings, but also understands the connection to the built environment, which is the homes the condominiums that surround the preserve. And in terms of what we heard, as Christy mentioned, we've had surveys, we've done lots of interviews, we've had workshops and public meetings, and we'll continue to have them after this stage. And as I said, this is a draft stage of work. So it's where we're going right now. And the whole, most of what we heard is to not be heavy-handed about anything. So use natural surfaces. We, of course, have a cart path that's winding through the preserve right now. But to improve that and to any other surfaces that we add would be natural. And to have a kind of hierarchy or a system of walking trails. I know it says biking trails on the suggestions. We're having some consternation about biking trails because every time we've been out on the preserve to observe, there have been potential conflicts or conflicts between pedestrians and bicyclists. So we're still talking about that. And if anyone has anything to say about that, we'd love to hear it, or I'd love to hear it. Obviously, to increase the wildlife viewing, you've got a great wildlife cast at the preserve, and so that's part of it as well. To connect the preserve with the town trails, increase the habitat value and educational value, make a place at least in one area that there can be family gatherings of the sort you might see at a park. And I've got some ideas that I'm going to show you for that. To repurpose that driving range area, which is just a huge dead zone of Bermuda grass. And so that is part of what we're going to show you tonight as well. And then some educational gardens. Make sure we cover the erosion problems. And for those of you who walk those trails, you know that where there are washes that go through, the cart path is having some issues. It's undermining the cart path, and it's even breaking it up in places. So there's a real issue there. Another of what we heard was to reestablish native vegetation, and I'll show you how we're suggesting we do that. Create some sitting areas here and there. maybe wildlife viewing areas, and even maybe some shade structures for a little picnic or just to stop and relax away from out from under the sun. And then at the end of our process, and we don't have anything on this now, we're going to have a protocol for management and operations for the preserve that we'll pass on to the town of Oro Valley. Next slide. I'm going to reduce mine. So as you know, the Vistoso Trails Preserve has some really beautiful areas all around it. Like that slide in the upper left-hand corner, there's just some really awesome native landscapes dotted around the preserve. I will say that from my many walks along the preserve, the areas to the south of the general area that is the preserve are probably in better shape from the native vegetation perspective than the areas in the north, which is where the driving range and some other areas that were kind of heavier use areas are. But dotted throughout the preserve, and you can see this on the lower photograph on the left, there are fairways, and the fairways are still there. And we're going to talk about ways that we should be able to help to reclaim those as native landscapes, as opposed to the just dead grass that's there now. The existing conditions on the site are shown on the map to the right. So before we even start any kind of master planning, we look at the existing conditions on the site, we document them, we photo document them, and we place them through a GIS system on the site. And the three sites that you'll see that kind of pop out on the northern extent of the project are, to the left, the driving range, to the right, the old lake, and then right about between those two, a little bit north of them, is that development site that will get developed as the site improvements move on. We're also showing the underpasses under roads. They're shown by those little kind of maroon colored lines under the roads. We're showing the washes, which are the blue areas. And then of course we're showing all of the homes and the home sites and the buildings that are on or near the site. The black line, and for those of you who attended some of our meetings in November, the black lines have been fixed. And so what I mean by that is those black lines are the boundaries for the preserve. And we discovered at the last meeting we had that some of those boundaries were incorrect. They were little tiny modifications, but they were still incorrect. And so those were pointed out to us, and we fixed those on this plan. And so again, this just shows kind of what we see, what are the components of the area as it now exists. Next slide. So this is a really interesting diagram. The town of Oro Valley hired a consultant to look at the cart path and determine if it had issues with the Americans with Disabilities Act. And it has a lot of issues with the Americans with Disabilities Act. So what you're seeing are dots along the cart path that are areas that either have a cross slope, which means the going across the path as you're walking on it, or that have problems with the direction of the path being non-conducive to someone that might have a disability. And so that is a good starting point for one of the things that probably needs to be worked on over the years. While the whole trail, the whole cart path doesn't need to be ADA accessible, a lot of it should be. And we ran into people at the last group of public meetings that and workshops that had some issues with disabilities and that needed more interventions, more improvements that would help them be able to use the preserve as well. So all those that drawing on the left shows is what exists there now. Bicyclists and walkers and pedestrians all using that small 8-foot cart path at one time. And I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with it. The next slide. Thank you, Christy. So we looked at the whole area and we actually digitized the entire preserve. And what you're seeing on the right is the cart path. But what we've added to the cart path is some loop trails. And those loop trails were added so that we could provide accessibility for those that might have challenges that way. So there are little loops along the cart path, usually near a road or a parking lot, that would provide a like experience for someone that's accessibility challenged. The other thing that it's showing is the great difference between the fairways, which you see in that light green area, and the tees and the greens as compared to the native landscape that surrounds it. So that olive color is the native landscape that surrounds it. What we're proposing to help with those loops, to make some of them ADA accessible, and also to, how should I put it, how to widen those loops so that bicycles and pedestrians and even those that are wheelchair bound or walker bound can use them at the same time. And so that drawing at the bottom on the left shows a gravel or chat area that could also be walked on, that's softer, that would in effect widen the trail along those loops. Now, this is one option. And what this option shows is that we're not suggesting any more trails than the existing cart path and those loops, where there might be some questions about the cart path, or questions meaning it's undercut by a wash, or it's been in some way made inaccessible or unwalkable, and that's it. So we're only showing for this option just the cart path with some improvements around it. Next slide. Thanks, Christy. So the next slide shows you a little bit more. And what we're suggesting is that there could be a 5-foot wide gravel, fine crushed gravel path. And you'll see that in the pink dashed line. And we tried to make those paths kind of parallel to the cart path. So it would provide a softer surface way for people to use the preserve to walk or ambulate in other ways. This is sort of one step up from just leaving the cart paths. And something we showed for those of you who attended the workshops that we had on the other side of Christmas, we showed a lot of trails. We showed these 5-foot trails. We showed small 2-foot trails, and we showed the cart path. We've pulled that back substantially. We heard from people loud and clear that there were just too many, and so this one's showing a 5-foot trail. This is option B. Option C, which is the next slide, shows an even narrower trail, and that's a 2-foot wide trail. And that one is, sorry, I can't see it on my setup here. Let me go to that slide on my own. Bear with me. Okay. The 2-foot wide trail is shown in green. Thanks for your patience there. And the 2-foot trail is literally a 2-foot trail, like some of the trails you'll see up in the Catalinas, just enough for people walking, not side by side, but one after the other along the trail. Much more diminutive, much smaller and less impact on the land. So this option is just showing that trail at that width. And you'll notice that we didn't purposely include a combination of those trails for each of these options. We're showing one or the other. Now, there could be some combinations in specific areas, but that's what we're showing right now, and that's what we're thinking right now. Christy, if I could have the next slide. So this is a close-up of the area around where the driving range was. And what we're showing is primarily a, here, let's see, I'm just going to use my own version of this. Bear with me. What we're showing is a small parking lot. It will be directly adjacent to the parking lot that the developer will be building, or it will be part of it. And you'll see there's 31 spaces in that parking lot. The developer's land is very close to ours, and we're still waiting for a more detailed look at what he's planning for that area, and that could change the parking here. There's also a drop-off, and there's we're keeping the existing what used to be a concessions kind of building that had restrooms that used to sell hamburgers and that kind of thing. We're keeping that for when there's maybe star parties or something like that. The restrooms should probably be totally redeveloped at this point and modified and improved. What we're showing to the right of that existing concessions and restroom area is a kind of walk. What we're calling is a science walk, and it winds through that that mesquite and Palo Verde forest to the right, and it's for kids. It's intended to be a kid's trail. Between it and that concessions area are two smaller zones. One is a demonstration garden for water harvesting, habitat improvement, some shade structures and some learning exhibits. On the left of it is a small outdoor classroom so that either a naturalist or a native plant expert can talk to people about native plants or habitat and other kinds of natural occurrences and drought, for example. And it could also be used for astronomers. And what we're showing to the left of that is two trails that are more or less parallel to one another. And those trails have little kind of stations along them. And what that is for is star parties. And I don't know if any of you have ever attended a star party, but they are a nighttime activity where an astronomer sets up a telescope and invites people to look at celestial bodies. That is also the start to a trail, one of which will be ADA accessible. And the trail is just showing kind of ringing or looping around the old driving range, and has three types of gardens. It has low desert, it has the grasslands between, and then it has the foothills kind of area within it, so that we can portray in that area, some of the habitats that exist in and around Oro Valley and the Tucson metro area. We're also showing those little boxes, something like Tohono O'Toole has, which is an Ak-Chin, which is how the Native Americans used to collect water for their agriculture. So that's just an idea. That particular point is a low point in the driving range area. And so water does collect there already. So we thought it seemed like a natural for that. The rest of what this map is showing is just the trail network around it. And again, this is a draft, and we did hear at the last meetings, we really need to cut back on that number of trails. And so we'll be looking at that for the final version of this. The next slide, if we could go to that one. Is the pond area, and we have three options for the pond area. And each uses a little bit different kind of take on what used to be really the oasis of the golf course when it was around, the pond and that kind of photo op that it gave everyone, and also that grassy area around it. And so these are definitely reduced in terms of the ponding. And this is one option. And this option shows that the pond area would be converted to a habitat area. And there would be constructed wetlands within it, but much smaller. And that's what the gray areas are showing. And that they be more habitat oriented than a pond, for instance. We did keep a small area of grass on this particular option, and you see that to the left or to the west of the pond area, and then that would be used for gatherings and just a park-like environment. And we're also thinking that the waterfall, the old waterfall, might be kept as a sort of memory of what was there before. The walls on the pond area would be taken down, and that drop from the edge of the pond, the old pond, to the bottom of it is about 10 feet. And so what we're talking about doing is pushing those down, regrading it, and making it a much more naturalistic kind of approach to how you would get into that pond and use those trails within those wetland areas. On the next slide, we're showing a very similar kind of approach. However, the pond areas would be bigger, and potentially the one nearest the waterfalls would be a fairly good size. And it could be used for a pond at that level. Now, there are some supporters that really don't like this idea, and it makes sense to me. I mean, water in the desert and in this kind of a configuration doesn't really match, especially with the drought. But we're showing a little bit bigger pond on this, and we've reduced the grassy area to that little teardrop shaped area to the left of the old pond footprint. The area up and to the right, which you see bounded by trails, would be a meadow area. So it would be a little bit different than the native landscapes that are out there now. And it would be more meadow-like in that area. The next slide, which shows option C, one other thing. I think it's option B and option C, is a parking lot, a small parking lot shown off of the street. This one shows a more nodal kind of pond, very, very small, one near the wetland and one within the depression that was the old pond. No grassy area on this one, and everything else would be either left natural or improved to be more natural and more desert-like. Next slide. Oh, one other thing I wanted to mention about this before. Could you go back, Christy? I'm sorry. The other thing, and if you could go back one more because it's a little bit bigger. Thank you. The illustrations on the left are an artist's view of the pond. And so that's a three-dimensional kind of diagram. And in it, you'll see two structures. One is a wildlife blind, and that's that kind of elliptical shape one that you see to the kind of the top of the perspective. The other is a shade structure or a ramada that would be placed closer to the pond so that people can rest out of the sun in those areas. And you'll see them in a few areas dotted around the pond in the diagram to the right that says draft on it. Okay, now if we could go forward. I just wanted to point that out. This big triptych, I guess, on the bottom is an artist's view, is our view, of a section of the pond area, showing the pond on the right, the greener area to the left, and then the cart path further left. And so it's just trying to show a section as it looks towards the Catalina Mountains, I believe, right beyond that. Next slide. So these look very similar, but they're not for a few reasons. The one on the left is the existing vegetation patterns that we saw. So as I said earlier, the light green is the fairways, the driving range, greens and tees that are leftovers from the golf course, with the olive green showing as natural landscape. The one on the right shows the trails at one of the levels that I showed in the options earlier. The green areas we left like that because we wanted to get into a little more detail on the how that might be reclaimed. And I believe that's the next slide. Yeah. So we've been talking to Tom Ellis and to Christy, among others, about just how we deal with this revegetation and what it's going to look like, what will we do to improve it? And so right now, the town of Oro Valley is taking care of invasive plant materials. And you'll see buffelgrass and some other kinds of invasives here and there along the preserve. And they are continuing to try to eradicate them. The next thing we'll do is determine the usability of the old irrigation system for the golf course. We've been told quite a few differing stories about that old irrigation system, and we're just not sure what is viable and what isn't. Typically for a golf course, they'll put an irrigation designer for golf courses will put one or two loops, which is a large water line that will be the irrigation line that then the smaller lines for grass take off from, with valve boxes and all of the sort of accoutrement that goes with an irrigation system. So the town of Oro Valley really needs to figure out how that irrigation system, how good it is. Are there portions of it that are working, other portions that are not? We've heard that most of it is a wreck, but we think there may be ways to use it as part of the reclamation and revegetation of the preserve. We'll develop a phased revegetation plan based on the formal hole layout. And that'll show how to attack this, because it's going to be a big job. And I will say that if a lot of people asked myself and Liz and Susan, who were all here last month a couple months ago. And, you know, this project of revegetating Vistoso Trails Preserve could take many years. It could take up to 10 years. And the biggest hurdle is really going to be removing. Oh, sorry. Did someone say something?
No.
Am I talking too long?
No, George, you're okay. We had someone cough.
Oh, I see. Sorry. what we think from talking to Tom and some other naturalists in the Tucson and Oro Valley area is that we'll rip the ground where the Bermuda grass was, but we're going to rip it on the contours, which means along the slopes. And most of the fairways are sloped in areas. So some are flat, but they're going to have to be ripped with equipment. Once it's ripped, we'll reseed in those areas, but we'll reseed with native grass and straw. And then it'll be slightly compacted from there. And we believe that that will start to be a way, and that's shown kind of in that photograph in the lower left. It's not quite accurate, obviously, because it's not shown with trying to revegetate from old Bermuda grass, but that ripping will expose any seeds we put in, or that the town puts in, or that docents put in, to the ground and start to germinate and grow. And we're thinking that the best way to do that would be to plant them during the rainy season. So when the monsoon seasons come, that would be the optimum time to perform this seeding process. But it's a big course, and so it's a big preserve. And so it's going to have to be taken a chunk at a time. And, you know, probably a fairway at a time, or maybe even less than a fairway at a time. Excuse me. Obviously, we'll still need to spot treat for invasive plants. And another thing that we think is possible is, and this was done over at the Thompson Preserve west of Tucson, moving some plants that are small or parts of them into those fairway areas, green areas, and the other non-native areas, and harvesting the seeds and the grasses and moving them into those areas again during the rainy season. And then another suggestion, recommendation that we have is to work with agencies and groups that collect native plants when a new road is built and collect cactus, and work out a relationship with them to use those plants that they're collecting to get out of the roadway alignments for new roads and existing roads that are being widened or improved in some way, making arrangements with those organizations to accept their plants as well. Next slide. I think we're getting close to the end. So next steps, what we're doing this year, the beginning of the year, is we showed you a draft of these. And again, these are changed from that draft in January. The first master plan draft we are showing to you right now. So those are modified from the plans we had in January. And then we'll be showing it to town council in March. In the April, May timeframe, excuse me, I'm having a hard time tonight. We'll be bringing a final draft of the plan to both you at the Parks Advisory Board, Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, and to town council. And those will probably happen in April or May. We haven't selected the dates yet, but that's what we're thinking. And then the next slide, I believe, is the final slide. And I stand for any of the blue card questions or others that the Parks and Rec Advisory Board has of me. And I'll try to answer them as best I can. Thank you. Hello again.
Christy's mic's not working.
Oh.
All right. See, the IT person has the power in the room, right?
That's really true, Christy.
Right. George, thank you for the presentation and the comments. I believe what we're going to do is take blue cards and hear from the community. Our process is 3 minutes. Ms. Wilson will keep the timer. I believe, Chair Wood, you have the cards. Okay. And then once we're concluded with that process, then we'll open it up to questions and answers from the board.
And as we're waiting for the chair to call the first person, just tell us whether or not you're an Oro Valley resident and give us your name. We don't need your address. We're not going to send you stuff from this.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The first speaker is Phil Zielinski.
I'm Phil Zielinski. I've been here since 2008. We happened to move to the 16th hole on the golf course, and we were very pleased because it was a golf course, and couldn't even see the golf course. We had all natural area. And then we were disappointed when the golf course started going under, and we were more disappointed when they built 300 or 400 homes on the other side. But we're very pleased and thankful that everyone got together, the community, the town, your group, to make this happen. It's a wonderful thing. I'll try to be quick. My first thing is less is more. I know it was mentioned once in here, but then there's a lot of plans for Ramadas and other things. Less is more. That's my personal opinion. I just think it can become more and more over time. It's a nature preserve, okay? The other thing is I asked in a number of meetings, and I was listened to, but there's many people to listen to. I would really like to see some access points that don't require parking. There are places off of Desert Fairways. There's places off of Pebble Creek and probably some other places I'm not as familiar with that don't require parking. You can have people from the neighborhood walk to this. That eliminates traffic. It eliminates cars. Right now, I have to walk about a mile just to get to the park itself, even though I live right on it, okay? The other thing is I suggested, and this is maybe for down the road, Worldmark has a trail that's about a half to three quarters of a mile that within a few hundred feet probably adjoins to the preserve. And that a little bit of it is probably owned by the HOA. I think there could be some cooperation for that to all join together, and you could have even more neighborhood access and an expanded nature trail at, you know, almost zero cost. And we can still talk Worldmark into maintaining their portion of it. The other thing is, it looks like it's been removed, but at one point, the black trail, the two-foot-wide trail, came perilously close to the backyards of the people on my street. And I've got nothing against sharing my backyard, believe me. But the thing bad about that is you really don't want to see me in my swimming pool. And, you know, a lot of us have dogs, and they will bark and make noise and everything else as best as we try to limit that. So I'm glad that that was removed. My last point is probably that I keep hearing about the Sky program. What has to happen with that is I need help, and I've tried on different platforms to try to preach dark skies because there are people along here that like the party lights. There's my neighbors, some of them have floodlights on their palm trees for whatever reason. And if you're going to if you want to have dark sky programs out there, please help educate the community to reduce their outdoor lighting. That is really would be a great thing. And love all the pond ideas. Almost any of them worked for me personally. but I think it's great to have the wildlife come back and have some place to drink. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is Pat Sturman.
Hello, I'm Patricia Sturman, and I do live in Oro Valley. I just first of all want to thank the city, the town, excuse me, I make that mistake a lot, the town and our whole entire community for making this happen. I'm a member of the board of Preserve Estoso. We've worked very hard for the last 3 years to make this happen. We think there's a lot more to do. We've become our membership is steady even after the acquisition, and we raised the $1.8 million. And we're hoping to increase our membership and create a Friends of Preserve Vistoso to work with Christy and on various projects. So we're looking forward to that. My question, though, will be, how are we going to set priorities? This master plan, and hello, George, good to see you. The master plan has a lot of great ideas, but they're big ideas, some of them. And how are we going to set, how is the council or what are the recommendations going to be on how we set the priorities for the projects, like the driving range, like the pond, like some of the fairways being transformed into a hummingbird gardens or whatever we want to do. That is the question that I will have, is what next do we do to set the priorities for funding, because this is going to be, I think, a fairly expensive project. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Next up is Marcia Sieben.
Hi, I'm Marcia Sieben, and I'm an Oro Valley resident. I'm adjacent to T-Box 11, excuse me. And thank you very much for an opportunity to say something. I wasn't aware of the community engagement efforts. And the first time I heard about it was when a neighbor, 2 days before the comments were due on this draft plan, told me about it. And I looked online, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, what's been going on? And nobody's even told me, and I live right on the golf course. So much for stakeholder meetings. I would consider myself a stakeholder, and I didn't have an opportunity to have any input on that. Having said that, I think that there's some really nice pieces to this plan. I think it's visionary in a lot of ways for certain areas. What I object to is the overwrought, excessive trails everywhere. It's just everywhere. It seems to me to be completely out of scale for a neighborhood park. It's not the Catalinas. You're trying to compare it to, well, this could be like the Catalinas. It's not the Catalinas. It's a neighborhood park. I don't want people in my backyard all the time. I'm sure a lot of people don't. I know that my neighbors don't, and they were very upset about hearing how close this was coming to their backyards. I think that having heard that, I don't even know if this January 2023 plan that I found online is the current version of all the trails that are going to go on, and they're everywhere. They're everywhere. Is that really necessary? I don't understand. I've got a wash that runs behind my house, and I have a video of how excessive the water is going through that wash. That ought to be interesting. I'm not sure what's going to happen when that coincides with people walking on it. But anyway, I feel really cheated out of an opportunity to participate in the process, being the stakeholder on just right there. It's right there, and I didn't know about it. There weren't any signs posted on the preserve. I walk on it every single day. There were no signs there either. I didn't get a letter in the mail. The neighbor that showed me this information, apparently they got a Oro Valley newsletter that they subscribed to. I didn't know about that. I would have subscribed to it had I known about it. First I heard of it. So I think that there's just a little bit of an issue that needs to be overcome with community outreach going a little bit farther than, I don't know who the people are who showed up to make these comments about this, but it wasn't me. It wasn't my neighbors. So I appreciate the time to say something. I want you to please consider trying to scale back all those trails everywhere. There's just too many of them. Thank you. Option A, if you have to do one, do option A. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your comments. The next speaker is Ned Hammond.
Howdy. Hey, my name is Ned Hammond, and we came down here, Oro Valley, 2.5 years ago. We bought our house in July when Mount Lemmon was on fire, okay? And we went over, we live on the fourth hole on the golf course, and it scared me to death. You know, later that year, 1,000 houses got burned down south of Boulder in December. 1,000 houses. It freaked me out. So Christy knows this. I started clearing some stuff up from behind my place. And so I did that. I said, I'd rather beg for forgiveness than ask for permission. But it's done now, and it's done. There's a whole lot of things when you have a project like this. You can throw rocks at it. I mean, and I won't do that. I got a lot of them that we can talk about. But what I really wanted to talk about here today was I live on the fourth hole. We repositioned some chairs that were from over by the golf course that were in the brush, and I put it out on the fairway, okay? And I can't tell you how many people have said you enjoyed the ability to just sit down. In fact, there's an old boy that comes by. He comes by, smokes a cigar. That's his halfway point, and then he goes home. He says, and I said, I had to take the chairs down because, you know, and I understand what Christy's position. I think the little chairs that we had were nice, but you don't want to have pink flamingo chairs, you know, on the fifth hole, okay? What I'd like to see happen is have the ability to put something out there on the golf course that people can, because not everybody is going to be, not everybody's going to be young and spry and running. There's a lot of old people that stumble around, rocking their dog, and have the ability to sit down. Until you guys get the budget to put your, let us put some stuff out with your approval on the golf course so people can sit down, okay? It would be nice. And then I would really like to know, and I said to Christy, I said, I'd like to really know what we can do to help. There's a bunch of people that I've talked to on this golf course or in the area that say they would love to have the ability. I've got chainsaws. We've got stuff. We can do stuff here and put us to work, okay? And the last thing is, you know, there was the fairways should be repositioned. I can't tell you how many people that walk across on number 14, on 4, are walking on the field as opposed to the cart path. Dogs are exercising with balls and frisbees. It's wonderful. Keep it as a natural open space for enjoyment. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next up is Joe Piskanaki. Something close to that?
Thank you for your time, ladies and gentlemen. My comments are going to be all relative to the information we took down off the internet, which I think is old, and it was inferred that some changes had been made. But I'll go ahead with my comments as I saw them from the internet. We live on Atalaya Way, hole number 11, just before the green. And we've been there for 15 years. It's been a beautiful spot. We've seen some beautiful animals, and we've seen some beautiful people. And I want to go on record. I have not seen in those 15 years one person who's cut through the woods or cut through the pine needle or the cacti or whatever looking for a different path to use. When I saw the maps on the internet the first thing that I thought was, it doesn't jive with a comment that was on the first phrase, or first slide that said, keep it simple and keep it natural. The one thing that I really object to is our backyard ends up on the preserve. On the map that we have, there's a red map, there's a red mark showing a 5-foot path on the back of our yard. Now, I don't want, and I bet you there's probably 30 houses in the string of the houses on Adelaide Way to back up to the thing that want gawkers looking at them as you're sitting there in your Speedo sunbathing, or you're entertaining people, or you're praying, or you're doing whatever you're going to do, because that's what's going to happen. They can look right at your yard, and they can look in your bay windows, which are either looking into your bedroom or your big room. Anyway, I've got about 1,000 other pieces of advice that I'm going to share with Liz has got my, and she's coming in tomorrow, I think. She's going to be in tomorrow. But anyway, thank you very much. And thank you for your efforts to making this happen, because it's a great idea.
Thank you so much for your comments. Next up is Dick Spirowak.
Good evening. I'd like to thank the board for volunteering for the Parks and Recreation Board. We appreciate it. I'm very happy to see that we're going to do something with the pond. I'm an 18-year resident, golfer, and live in this area and love it. I'm supportive of putting water in that pond. I understand from Liz that you have a benefactor or some conservation groups are providing funds to help with that redoing of that pond. I would, however, say that the designs as offered are entirely too grandiose as far as I'm concerned. We don't need duck blinds. We don't need areas for people to hide in to observe the ducks and the geese. Having been a golfer, I can assure you they're not bothered by a golf cart, they're not bothered by a golfer, and are not bothered by errant balls going into the pond. You don't need to provide that kind of area. I also don't care for the versions where we're splitting that pond up. If we want to have birds of all kinds, ducks and geese and crane coming there, which we have had, you get flocks of them. They're not going to flock into some little pond. So I would. We need to reassess that particular thing. The waterfall is a good idea. We need something to keep that water churning, and I'm not sure how you churn two small ponds over one pond. If we put in a parking area in that pond area, I strongly suggest that someone do a traffic study. That Vistoso Highlands Drive is a very curved road, and that particular area is incredibly dangerous. You got crosswalks over there that people have difficulty with, and putting a parking lot there with people going in and out is going to exacerbate the problem. The last thing I would offer is there are three areas where you can get pickup trucks into the conservation area. Two of them at the entrance off of Vistoso Highlands and Stone Canyon, which is the old part three going over to four, and one off of 16, which is across from the shop area or the work area that the off Pebble Creek. We need to put a post with a lock on that can be removed so that the city can get in there to do their work. but we have had several pickup trucks by our house. I've been advised to call the police, but I don't know what the police are going to do after the guy is gone. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next up is Chuck Davis.
Good evening. I'm a 17-year resident of the community and a graduate of the Citizens Academy. I'll echo briefly a couple of comments about the trail, but first, I think it's about 4 years ago we had our first meeting on this at Sun City Vistoso, and those that were there remember the developer and his attorney telling us, these are going to be houses. You people can forget about, we're going to win. We're going to put houses up here, and I'm so happy that we aren't. So congratulations to all that worked to make sure that didn't happen. That was wonderful. Trails. I agree with everything said here. My other concern that they haven't spoken about is the security aspects. If people know anything about house crime, they know that the criminals case the houses before they get into the houses. They want to see what they're going to get. We're giving them a great opportunity to look in the back of these houses and decide which ones they're going to go and steal from when those people leave for the summer. So I would ask the police department to take a look at this and make comments on what they think about this. The last thing I have is the parking lot. Vistoso Highlands has been a very traveled street for the last 16 years. It was never intended to be the entrance to the back gate to Stone Canyon. That was going to be a separate road that came into there. As a result, that street is used by everybody that comes in the back of Stone Canyon. And if you were there at 6:30 in the morning, waiting for the construction crew to pass through the gate, you might see 30 or 40 automobiles lined up. And we're going to put a parking lot on that street? It just doesn't make sense. The other thing is the traffic will be increased when we put the apartment buildings up. And we have two other wonderful locations for that parking lot. One is north of Vistoso Highlands, over by that other washroom. They come right off the road. And the other place is the maintenance area that is used now. I don't know what it's used for now, but it already is paved. So I think you ought to give serious consideration to looking and doing a traffic study of how much traffic is there and where we should put this parking lot. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next up is Richard Siri.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to meet you and all the work that's been done with the council and the community. Some of these issues, it's going to sound like an echo, but that means that I think the idea or the issue needs to be heard. Okay, I think the opportunity for this preserve is a terrific and valuable asset for the area. I must say that I do not agree with the proposal for the placement of the 31 vehicle parking lot and drop-off location on Vistoso Highlands Boulevard. This is on the northern border of the preserve. I live right on the north side of Vistoso Highlands, and I've seen bobcat from right the wall across the street. Deer are over there where they're demolishing the old clubhouse and a lot of other wildlife. Okay. On the northern border of the preserve, this is probably the most heavily trafficked interface for wildlife to enter the area. We should keep more traffic from having to use this road. Not only do animals try to cross this during the day, but also they get caught on the inside. And this just happened the other day. There was a small group of deer, and you know, daylight came, and all this construction traffic and everything's coming by, and they're trying to get across the street, and they can't. They're just stuck there. Okay, and this traffic is unbelievable. When we moved in there, you know, we looked and said, well, how much traffic can be going down this residential street because there's just Stone Canyon there? There's an endless stream of vehicles going back and forth. You know, when Saturday and Sunday come, it's like night and day. There's just nobody around. But during the weekdays, there's cement trucks, there's, you know, pest control. There's gardeners with olive trees in the back. There's just a lot of traffic, okay, which other members have also brought up. So the animals get caught inside trying to cross the road, and there's a lot of people walking who are kind of older. These cement trucks, if they're going 30 miles an hour, what do they weigh, like 30,000 pounds? They're not going to stop. So there's, and they go pretty quickly, too. That's another issue. So it's a dangerous scene, and I think when this parking area comes, there should be a conscious decision about what's going on. Okay, Vistoso Highlands already gets a tremendous amount of traffic because they don't have a dedicated construction and service entrance. Better alternatives for this parking drop-off site would be the restroom on Rancho Vistoso between Tortolita Mountain Circle and Saguaro Arm Trail. And it would be a similar approach to what you have on Honeybee Canyon. Another already completed site is the maintenance lot. A plan should be adopted to minimize intrusion into the wildlife preserve from unnecessary driving, light pollution with the stargazing, noise pollution, fumes, and stress on the wildlife. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next up is Gail Siri.
Hi, my name's Gail Cherry. Thank you for having us and giving us the opportunity to comment on this plan. We're a resident of Oro Valley. And what I would want is someone to speak to the process of which you incorporate our comments. I know that George, I think his name was, said that he incorporated comments about the trails. That's great, but I also know I met George at one of these functions, and I know he's gotten a lot of comments on the parking lot. And I don't understand, or can somebody explain to me exactly what is the process in which you categorize our comments, review them with rigor, and are transparent about your discussion about the comments and what you're going to incorporate and not incorporate. So I'll turn it over to you.
We're really not allowed to comment on your comments. We're just supposed to listen.
Well, how do I get this question answered? No, can you
not right
to the
now.
Group?
It's not going to be answered here this evening. It would be something you'd have to talk with staff on at some other time. It's not something that the board or anybody here is equipped to answer for you this evening.
Well, that's a shame.
Thank you. Up next is William Thomas.
Good evening. William Thomas. I'm a Oro Valley resident, live in the Center Point Vistoso area. And first, I'd like to open by first giving my compliments to Christy and to George and everybody who's been involved as a 30-year member of industry running programs and projects. I know how hard it is to run efforts like this with diverse stakeholders and requirements. So congrats, and I feel your pain and your efforts on that. With that said, I do want to say that I appreciate the efforts that have been given to reducing the number of trails. And as I understand correctly from our discussion, Christy, I think the setback from the existing homeowner lines and properties for the trails, the new trails, was 25 feet. I'd like to see us maybe reevaluate that and consider taking advantage of the open space to drive that back just a little bit further, just in the areas that are necessary. Second comment to that would be regarding the water areas. The foothills of the Tortolitas have never been a riparian area or a water reserve area in that type. To create an unnatural event like that, I think, is a bad idea. I'd like to see a larger, as some others have said, a larger lake body with a water feature to churn that water, keep it fresh, and reduce the amount of control and maintenance that we'll need on that. And then with that, I think it's a great idea. Congrats to everybody who worked this project long and hard to get us to where we are. And I look forward to being involved as we move forward. So with that, thanks for time tonight.
Thank you for your comments. Next up is Laura Smith.
Good
short. Hi, Laura Smith. I've been a resident here since 2018, and I live in Center Point Vistoso. And my concern is not so much a future concern, because unfortunately it's already occurring. I have personally witnessed, as well as other people, dirt bikes going in and tearing up on the preserve. There's been go-kart scene, there's been golf cart scene, and there's been several conversations happening on next door with a lot of attitudes that I don't care, it's open space, it's already a destroyed golf course, I want my kids to have some place nearby, I don't want to drive them somewhere. They've been seen accessing through Pebble Creek. They've been seen accessing off of La Cañada. I guess my question is, because I love the plans, but if we're going to be seeding and they're going in and they're just tearing it up, how are we going to police this in the future? I know it's probably an extremely difficult thing to do. Will we block off entrance ways that allow just enough for bicycles to get in and pedestrians, but not bigger vehicles? But knowing human nature, they will go around these areas. So I guess there needs to be some sort of policing or ability to prevent kids and adults from going in and just tearing up the place. I know that it doesn't have to do with the preserve, but they've also been seen in Honeybee Canyon. So I don't know if anybody's, in parks is aware of that. So that is my concern, because it's already occurring. It may not be in large numbers, but once people find out or hear about it, it's going to grow and grow and grow. And as far as the other plans, everything sounds great. I understand the trail issue, because I don't live right. I mean, I live like a 5-minute walk, but I don't live right up against the park. So I understand those issues. Parking lot, I have no issue with, but then again, I don't live over there either. But other than that, everything sounds great. Hope we save the pond in one way or another, and just want to keep the wrong vehicles off the preserve and the noise from happening. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Marlene Skibble?
Skibby, close enough. I want to thank everyone for actually getting us to this point, because I love having the preserve there and not 200 extra houses. But I want you to remember what our goal is. And in the words of the Conservation Fund and the Preserve Vistoso Group, we want to preserve the land. We want to preserve the pathways, the wildlife, the trails. We want to maintain the original or existing state. That's what preserve means. And I'm thinking in my heart that the plan is turning this into an amusement park. I think it's overkill. It's destroying too much for two reasons. One, it's a big mistake to try to make all of these extra paths, because by disturbing the areas where the wildlife need to rest, you're creating a big problem. This is a picture of two of the seven deer in that herd that lie under my big mesquite tree right behind my house in the shade of a hot day. This is where one of the paths is planned. Likewise, if you go through any of the areas that are undisturbed now, you're going to be destroying the areas where the deer need to sleep and rest during the day. This is their respite. They big mistake. They need shelter. Second of all, you're not going to be restricting visitors on the Gulf Path from seeing them. This is visible from the Gulf Path to people that are walking through. They can also look across the fairways and see the deer coming out. They only come out in the morning or in the evening. They're generally not running around there. Also, by more and more paths, two things. You're disturbing the birds, you're disturbing the wildlife, and you're creating more of a mess. We see more and more litter, more cigarette butts now than we did before, and they're just still on that path. Second of all, it's the security issue and the privacy issue. The more paths you have, the more issue of security we have. You're inviting people to come in and look at all the houses that are there. And you want them to come at night to be viewing stars, not behind my house, looking in my backyard through my bedroom window. Those are the two biggest issues that I have. Please kind of think as you are on this board, if you were living there, some of the issues that you might be facing, you wouldn't want your children or grandchildren to be observed by hundreds of people walking by. Thank you for your time. Good job.
Thank you for your comments. Next up is John Davis.
Good evening. Thanks for having us here tonight. I am a resident of Center Point Vistoso. I live on the 12th hole of the old golf course with my lot backing up to that area. So I have a beautiful view. I've always enjoyed it. My real concern tonight is one of security. And my brother was up earlier, didn't even know he was going to be here. But, he mentioned in his discussion that people case places. And not only do we have people out on the golf course, I happen to live in a place where we have a 30-foot wide path that goes out to the golf course, or the old golf course. Not sure why it's there. I don't know if it was a utility easement or what, but it's there. And there's no vegetation in it. And people go through it, so that's convenience. The inconvenience to me is neighbors go through it quite often with their dogs. I have dogs in my backyard. They bark, and I don't want to bother my neighbors. I've had people go through there 5 in the morning with flashlights with their dogs. I happen to have my dogs out early that morning. We get barks. But that's not the big concern. That's just inconvenience. It's probably just my neighbors. So it's not that many people. But if we start having people think that that's their way to get in to our gated community, I mean, we pay to have a gated community, and yet we have this big open path that comes now right off of this area. I'm just asking you all to pay a little bit of attention to all the areas where people may enter the preserve and see what do they look like. And what can we do to maybe protect some of those areas? I've seen signs up in other parts already that say this is an easement, it's not a path. I don't know if that'll keep anyone out or not. I've seen some of these that are really well landscaped. That certainly probably has some people think, well, gee, I'm probably not supposed to cut through there. But my wide open path, it looks like an entrance to the freeway. And it scares me a little bit what it might come to in the future. So I hope to just take a look at that. And again, all the way across, it's not just in my area. I hope someone will look and say, here's the place where we allow someone to go on, and here's places where we'll maybe put some signage or some other ways to keep them from getting on there. So thanks again. Thanks for all the work you do. I brought a picture. I don't know if we can project anything. Probably not here, but if you can see from that far away, that's my house on one side of that, and you can see this 30-foot wide path that nothing but stones. And maybe I should put some trees in there. I don't know. Probably can't, but maybe you guys can. Thanks again for all that you've done for us.
Thank you for your comments. The last card is Millie Learman.
Good evening. Hello. Thanks for your time. I'm Millie Learman. As you said, I'm a resident of Tucson area since 1991, resident of Oro Valley since 2016. My husband and I also own some property in Rancho Vistoso that's a little closer to this preserve. And we have some really good friends on the preserve. So love the area. I want to join in thanking you for making it happen, making this preserve happen. It is absolutely the best use of this land. We have plenty of development to go around. We need to keep some spaces for plants and wildlife and open areas. It's a wonderful idea, so much more than a neighborhood park. It's really great for wildlife and everything else. I love the Friends of idea. I got to imagine with all the active people in Oro Valley that there are tons of people who, including myself, who would be more than happy to volunteer in any number of ways with the Friends of. So I hope that goes forward. George pointed out the difficulty of revegetating the fairways and greens. This is something that it's very obvious when you travel around this preserve how dead that those areas are, and they're huge compared to the natural landscape around them. It is difficult, but I think everyone would agree we want full vegetation back in there. I had an idea. I actually ran it by the Tucson Audubon Habitat Restoration Group, and it turns out they've already done this probably a ton of times, but recently in 2021 in the Rito River, where they take landscape trimmings, so branches, trees, things like that, and they put them into strategized piles. It provides habitat shelter, and it really helps. It can break down and be mulch, and it can help restore that soil underneath much more quickly. I think this ripping and furrowing idea is a lot of work and incredibly expensive, and the whole mantra of keep it simple and natural could be accomplished by letting the residents nearby put their tree trimmings and other things, and it could all be overseen by the proper people like the Audubon, who can make sure that the right stuff goes in there. The other thought I had is, it seems like this would be a great place for a community garden. With supply chain issues and COVID and people not always having the freshest good food, you could have a beautiful community garden there, and there's probably tons of master gardeners in the area. So just a couple ideas. Thanks.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you, Board. I just want to make sure that George is still on the line, and it's an opportunity for you to ask him questions, ask me questions, provide any thoughts, concerns, highlights. So again, the goal of today is to listen to the presentation, learn from what we have heard from the community up until now, as well as today, and then just getting some direction from you as the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, so that way George and his team can update the plan appropriately before we present to council next month. So the process, yeah, Have you closed the call to the audience?
It's essentially, we've closed the public call on this particular one. Now it's time for the board to actually do their part.
Okay. There we go.
So anybody want to go first? Gary Temple.
Christy, just a couple comments. One on the pond note. I've heard a lot of comments out here. There's a lot of sensitivity going around water preservation. Your colleagues up the street at Push Ridge Golf Club kind of attest to what issues are about water. They're wanting to convert over to gray water, and it's not a cheap way to go, but a lot cheaper than using potable water. So I would caution people when it comes to that water node, think it through carefully, because there's a lot of expense involved, because you're going to have evaporation and you got to keep putting water back in. There's got to be another alternative to that than going with a resurrection of the pond that was there. Second comment, Christy, I don't know whether this is the time and place. I was wondering, I had some issues about how we're going to finances. What venues are we going to be using to finance it? Is it out of the general fund? Is it out of the community center fund? I haven't heard anything as to what progress is being made on that front.
Okay, Chair, Member Temple. So as it relates to the pond, the former golf course was on a reclaim system. So depending on what the final decision is related to the pond space, they would be on a reclaimed water system. It would not be potable. Second, as it relates to funding, so as George and Liz have talked through this process, as part of the project, as when they deliver their final product, they will pre-identify some alternative funding sources, from grants to philanthropic organizations. But in terms of the how the project is funded, it'll be funded like all of the other projects within the town of Oro Valley through each fiscal year. So it'll go through the budget process, and the fiscal priorities will be identified. The beauty of having perhaps a friends group and a grant is we can leverage those fundings and leverage the matches. And so you could set a midterm goal, perhaps 3 years out or 5 years out, and it's something for each of those organizations to strive toward, and so that way we can then complete the project as an option.
Well, I guess I'll go. I too am a Center Point resident. I see a lot of my neighbors out there. I got a couple of emails in the last few days. I think they did a terrific job of getting rid of all of those little trails that mm-hmm. were making everybody crazy. I went to the open houses on this, and not only was I talking, but I actually listened to what other people were saying too. Seems to be a lot of people still really like to have the pond because, you know, the photo ops. I remember telling them that, you know, we used to see people, you know, taking Christmas card pictures out there. So that was just one of the ideas, and they incorporated that. And, you know, there's always going to be two sides to that, you know, whether or not, you know, the water issue versus the photo ops out there. But I think, I mean, we need to keep in mind that this isn't just a little neighborhood park. This is for all of Oro Valley. And, you know, we need to welcome people to come in and to walk around. I've also seen the dirt bikes. I know I've made a few calls, come get these guys. But, you know, I don't think they capture them very easily. But, you know, at least it's a thought. So I think those are all good comments. Appreciate everything you guys all had to say. And I know George is listening, and I think he'll take it all to heart.
Thank you, Chair Wood. As it relates to the pond, while we're listening, we also have to understand the cost and the expense. And I had an opportunity to meet the golf course contractor who built that course and built that pond. And we had an on-site visit and confirmed what we all can see. The pond would be need to be completely redone. So we have to strike the balance of what things cost. Furthermore, as we're progressing through the plan, we're continuing to do touch points with the Conservation Fund because they are our easement holder. So we want to make sure that as things are suggested and recommended, we're doing a quick touch point to make sure we're on track with them. So when it comes to present to you for a final vote, we have the blessings of the Conservation Fund. I don't want to have to go back and start all over. So that's part of the process. We're continuing to touch base with them.
I did want to say something, if I could, Christy and board. I have taken lots of notes tonight, and I will take those back, and what Christy and I and Liz will talk about it. And there's a lot of really good comments in my notes. So I just wanted to thank everybody for those comments, everybody in the audience and yourselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Woods. First of all, I appreciate the comments here tonight from all of you folks, and in the spirit of keeping it simple, which I've heard it referred to as the KISS principle, and what I've been told is it's keep it simple, Saletta. Is that? I think it's that. And anyway, I just a prioritization thing. I think one of the first things on the slides that came up tonight from George is that the concern for invasive species and weeds and things like that, and non-native plants, I think that has to be a priority. As to the revegetation, yes, it is a lot of work, but I think, as I understand revegetation, that will help prevent a lot of the non-native and invasive species from coming in, so we have to take that into consideration. And as I think George said, we can do this little by little, see how it works out, and then take it from there. But the other thing with vegetation is that's going to native species attracts wildlife, and that's an important perspective too. The other thing with respect to the water areas, you know, I think you can make arguments either way for larger ponds or smaller ponds or constructing wetlands. I think one of the things that we need to take into consideration if we're constructing wetlands is what has been done as the Sweetwater area, mm-hmm. if folks are aware of that, down on the Santa Cruz River, halfway to Tucson, basically. And something like that is just a beautiful amenity for wildlife, but it doesn't have to be that big. It can have small water areas or large water areas. So something to take into consideration is something like that Sweetwater area. Thank you.
So I heard a lot of comments tonight about security and safety, and one of the things that came to my mind as I was listening to George's presentation was around the Nighttime Sky program. And I'm a little curious if we have more information on how we would promote that or more about, as one of the residents said, the neighboring houses and the light that that emits. Will that even provide a good environment for that kind of program? And so just more kind of information around kind of that promotional program.
Okay, yeah, thank you, Member Landau. So the park hours are dawn to dusk. Those are the park hours. And so anything in the evening beyond that would be by program. And so what we would do as a park and recreation organization is promote a night sky viewing event. We'd put a capacity limit to it. People would have to register, and they would come in. We would coordinate with an astronomy organization. They'd set up all of the telescopes. They would do the education presentation and set the viewing, and that would all be done on the former driving range. So it would be in that space. It would not be a walk about the preserve. It's not a midnight stroll. That is not at all the intent. It is very prescriptive. We will know who's going to be there. We know what time it's going to start, what time it's going to end. You're welcome.
Okay, so I heard a lot about security also, mm-hmm. and as a mom, that's just like where my brain goes. So I've walked to the trails before, and I've been mid-trail while my child got hurt and then had to carry a screaming toddler, you know, like half a mile out of that trail. And, you know, if you live in the area, you know that phone connection is not great. So I do have the concern about, like, what measures can we take to not just police, but make sure there's safety. We know there's rattlesnakes across the trail. There's wildlife. There's plenty of tripping hazards. If you're mid-trail, what are our actions to make sure that that's safe? I do have more, but I don't know if you have.
I do. I wasn't sure if you were done. I was going to jot them all down, but so we'll. Go for it.
So the other part, I know Oro Valley has a big push for mental health right now. I really mm-hmm. liked hearing about the reflection points or seated. I think that could be an opportunity here throughout the trail for points of reflection, points of quiet, connecting with nature, creating some sort of invitation around that for community members, to young and old, to experience that, I think is an opportunity that could easily be included. And then finally, I echo the parking concern more in the idea of I see that La Cañada has several points where it could be easily accessed, but there isn't very many places to park. I know that there is the private community center there that is gated. But if someone from the community is coming to visit, how would they access the southernmost part of that trail without parking all the way up in the north, which seems a little bit far to me? Sorry, okay. That's a lot.
Thank you, Ms. Varys. Council member, excuse me. You already promoted board member Varys. So I'll start with the security. And so George mentioned another partner in this project, Acorn Group, and they're an education organization.
They do interpretive.
Correct, and they do it through interpretation. So as part of the package, there will be a consistent look and theme and storytelling as part of the interpretive signage. So there'll be information about there that talks about the Native American culture. It'll talk about the flora, fauna. It'll talk about how it came to be, right? How did a golf course become an amazing community asset. So that's part of it. The wayfinding signage, putting some markers throughout the system without it being a freeway, right? We're still being very mindful about the environment. But throughout that, we will have GPS coordinates that will link up to our 911 system. So in the event something happens and you call and you're able to say, hey, you know, I fell and broke my ankle, come help, they'll be able to find you at that location. So it's definitely a concern because it's, you know, and it's in the middle of nowhere in many times, and as well as new visitors or non-frequent visitors, it's not super intuitive, right? So there's opportunities where you go out but you come back and you don't know, well, did I park to the left or did I park to the right? So creating some on-site signage to help with that level of that type of security, as you mentioned. As it relates to the mental health, the reflection space, you know, being outdoors, nature is healing, and there's just research that helps to contribute to that. And so, yes, as part of the interpretive signage package, we will also include, I guess if you would call it site furnishings, if you will, but just sort of the look and tone and feel. We will also have park benches placed out there. And as part of our memorial bench program, people will have an opportunity if they would like to have a bench and have it placed in a certain location in memorandum of or in loving, you know, for, you know, 50th anniversary or whatever the case may be. But those will be pre-identified as areas to stop and rest and reflect, and being strategic where it's near a tree. And one of our call to the audience is it's necessary, but we also want to make sure that it's of park grade, so it doesn't, hurt folks in the event of it falling apart. And then in terms of parking, so the parking space that was identified in the plan is essentially in the middle, right? So you can park there, you can go north, you can go south. It's also a direct node to the driving range where we're planning and proposing the education space. So that would be the destination. We need an address. We need a place when someone comes to visit to Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve and they're gonna look on their phone, where do I go? Because right now our address is the former clubhouse. And we don't even own that property. So we need a base, we need a home base, and the thought process is the home base. It really needs to be sort of the heart and center, so that way when people go to explore north, explore south, or explore the education space, that was the philosophical decision about that point. That being said, there are other areas. I don't think we really called them out in the presentation, but they are in the presentation in terms of looking at other ones. So a smaller parking space off of Rancho Vistoso Boulevard, somewhat associated with the restroom that's up in that area, and then a smaller one sort of on the south area. I think it's Desert Fairways. It's anyway, it's adjacent to the former maintenance yard. So and so that way there's those two kind of points if you know that you want to do the north loop or the south loop. But we have to have that home base. I think I answered them all.
One other thing I was going to mention about parking, we did talk to the school at the far south end of the preserve. I believe it's Innovation Academy, and they are more than willing, it appears at this point, to allow us to show that and designate their parking lot as parking on weekends. So while it wouldn't be 7 days a week, there is a parking opportunity there. And so that's something I wanted to mention. The other thing I wanted to mention about parking is that the parking lot that we are just conceptualizing at the old lake area has no parking for anyone other than handicap spaces. So there is no general parking at that parking lot if it ends up being kept. It's only for handicap parking. So I just wanted to clarify those two things.
Thank you, George, for the reminder. And then as it relates to the Innovation Academy parking, we have talked to the principal, and you know it'll need to go through an IGA. But essentially, it's available during non-school hours, which primarily would be the summer and weekends. Because remember, the park hours, like right now at about 6 to 6, right? And by the time school ends and they have parent-teacher conferences and whatnot, it really isn't a space. But again, we're working through that. So far we have, yes, let's figure it out.
And thank you, Pat Sturman, for arranging that meeting with them.
I had the parking issue, but you guys already answered it.
So if in terms of direction moving forward, next steps, really taking into account security from the meetings that were done in January to what you saw today, we did hear from the community. There were a lot more trails, new trails, and those were like virtually eliminated in option one, with the exception of creating two ADA accessible loops, right? Option two was keeping the two accessible loops and then having, having another trail network, and then option three, again, keeping the accessible loops and then just some overflow. So that was how we, basically in terms of what we heard from the community and reducing that. It's hard to tell when you look on a piece of paper how close it is to your backyard. One of the things that George and Liz assured me was when they were putting it on paper that it was a minimum of 25 feet away from a fence line, and most of them already ran parallel to the existing system. So from that respect, I think that, we're on target. I don't know if there is a preferred option or a favored option from the board.
Yeah, and I wanted to also just chime in with what Christy said. That it's an either or the way we showed those options. So it's the cart path with a few loops, then the other option is a 5-foot path that kind of parallels the cart path as one option, and then a 2-foot trail that is more habitat oriented. But the number of trails was reduced drastically. So I would appreciate if everyone could look at where we are now versus where it was before. And we're happy to post those options on site, but we reduced them very, very drastically. We heard everybody loud and clear about those trails. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't think the 2-foot trail had a lot of support either, actually.
Okay. So it sounds like option A and B are a little more conducive or more favorable. Okay.
There was a consistent theme tonight of less is more, right? So for me, I think option A seems to fit that mold better than any of them.
Yeah, I would agree.
Thank you.
The real crux of the option A issue is that it was a cart path. It wasn't intended to be a trail. And it's not designed really like a trail. So as it changes over time, there should be some kind of a maintenance or management perspective kind of buried into our recommendations that talk about how that cart path gets modified over time as the washes, you know, do their damage to it and cracks and other problems get, arise more as it gets older. So I think that is something we should really include in the master plan at this point.
Okay.
I made a note about that.
And then the other, I think, for me, from my perspective, is I don't know. We've heard about the parking as it relates to the driving range node. The space. Can I draw on this? Oh, look at that. So this space, as I said, is we're still trying to learn what's going to happen with the developer. So this space right here, the number, the size, the scale, is not representative of what the final will be. Again, we will work with the developer to have a good balance in that area. Okay, so this is the problem with drawing. As it relates to the look at that, the pond node area. Was there a preferred direction? Again, option A. The original wetlands option that was presented, option B, a larger body of water with some wetlands, and option C, a smaller body of water with more of a sloped area and some smaller water nodes or wetland nodes in the middle.
I mean, this is without any kind of financial information on all of these options, right?
This is just an ideal, correct,
if we could make it any way we wanted it.
Yes, Board Member Landell, you are right. You are correct.
I would kind of like B or C, but, you know, I think we're going to have friends of the pond and raise some money.
Okay.
I like option C for a couple reasons. First of all, it reduces the surface area, which reduces evaporation and water use. And they would still be supplied with reclaimed water, which is very good for the community in general in terms of water supply. The other thing I like about option C is I think down the road, if you wanted to construct a wetland, you could still do that and still have those open surface areas with water. So I would lean towards option C.
Thank you, Member Sletta. And you are right, that is a good observation. It's option C is really like knocking down the walls, creating, I think it's like a 6-to-1 slope. So wildlife and human life, I guess sometimes we're wildlife as well, could also sort of go in there and explore. So it does provide a position to do something in future years.
Just a quick affirmation of what the folks have shown here as far as a preference with C.
I hold that in abeyance until we get the financials in it.
So option A had no pond. Is that what it was?
Oh, my apologies. I went the wrong way. There's option A. Option A was the three nodes with the wetlands and then the just adding some walkability throughout. That was your
again. Right. I think option A would work for the wetland issue that he talked about. And then if they really, I mean, it looks like we have to redo the pond anyway. So it's not like you're going to just fill it up with what's there.
Okay.
Yep.
Go ahead, George.
I was just going to say that option A is the one with just wildlife wetlands. They're not ponds per se. So, and I didn't mention this before, but they do harvest water from the grades within the pond area itself. So it would be graded to harvest water into those temporary wetlands. Or I should say ephemeral wetlands might be a better way to put it. And I hear what you say about costs, and we can start to, I think we're starting to hone things pretty well. And so we can actually work on the costs at a very kind of parametric level, a very, you know, kind of 20,000 foot view level. And we would be able to supply that. And we probably could supply that to the board and the public, depending on how far we want to go, how far parametrically we want to go. In other words, 20,000 foot view versus a very detailed cost estimate. We don't normally do detailed cost estimates at this stage of work. It'll be a more high level.
Okay. Thank you, George.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess as I'm thinking through these choices, I'm feeling very much like I'm making a decision based on or a recommendation based on like aesthetics or my personal enjoyment. But I wonder if it might be a possibility for us to have you know, I love the Sweetwater wetlands, like they've done it before, or an environmental impact. Someone who is a little bit more educated on, like, what does each of these decisions mean as a result to the surrounding community? And I've heard, like, mosquitoes. Like, okay, well, which option really does? Like, how would we best prevent that? How would we best prevent wildlife crossing that street back and forth? I don't feel like I have enough information there.
Okay, very nice. Thank you. That's good feedback, George. I hope you caught that in terms of assessing each node relative to environmental impact.
Yeah, I think, and it is, Christy, I wrote a note to myself to create a matrix that shows the pros and cons of each of those solutions.
Excellent. Thank you, George. Okay, I believe, unless there was anything else in terms of providing some substantial feedback or comments? No? Okay. I'm finished.
Excellent.
I concluded my presentation. Thank you, George. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Christy. Thank you, board. And thank you, residents.
Mr. Chair, it might be a great idea for us to take a short break so the crowd can clear and the rest of us can do whatever it is we're going to do on break.
That sounds good. We're going to take a few minute break. Can we call a meeting back to order? Thank you.
I think and now, Christy just to stay consistent, we're going to have our clerk read the next item for you again.
Item number 4 in the regular session agenda is progress update, presentation, and discussion regarding the Oro Valley $25 million park bond project approved by the Town Council on September 22nd, 2021. Christy?
Thank you. I'm so used to saying mayor and council, so board, advisory board. The last time we met, I went over the town council value engineering process that they did as it relates to the entire park and recreation bond project. For the new members, the $25 million project encompassed three specific areas. The first area is the community center exterior, and that included tennis court renovation with the addition of pickleball courts, a parking lot expansion, and a new irrigation system for El Conquistador Golf, which is the 18-hole Cañada course and the 18-hole Conquistador course. The second project was at Naranja Park and adding several amenities, which is by and large the largest financial commitment as well as work commitment toward the bond project. And then the third part was identifying some multi-use path improvements and or connections. So I'm going to give a very high level of where we are since that last meeting, and what I can do is I can do the full presentation and we can ask questions afterwards, or we can ask them right after each node. So I'll take a pause and let you all make those decisions. So the first node, the community center project, so the tennis and pickleball court projects were completed. We had our ribbon cutting for that project in the fall, as well as the Conquistador irrigation project. The Cañada irrigation project, we're actually going to be starting at the end of April, so we're going to get a little bit of a jump start on that. And again, that'll run through the summer. The Cañada course will reopen in September, October timeframe, because that means we're taking the Conquistador course down to overseed. So basically, we're only going to have one 18-hole course through the end of October, and then all 36 will be up and running from November in perpetuity, because we'll have a brand new irrigation system. And then the last piece is the parking lot. If you recall, the value engineering project scaled it down previously. It was a complete parking lot renovation. The VE project is basically that dirt lot. So for those of you that have been to the community center, you know there's a dirt lot to the left when you drive in that was privately owned. We worked with the owner and did a land swap, and now we will be focusing on that. We met contractors 2 weeks ago, and so they're working on a couple different scenarios. Our goal is to get this done and completed by the end of the fiscal year, which is June. But again, it depends on, you know, pricing and the contractor schedule. So I would like to just say our goal is to get it completed by this summer. We'll level that dirt. We'll put an asphalt or chip seal surface of hard surface of some kind. And then the goal is to create two entry points so that way you don't get stuck. We had people get stuck about a week and a half ago because, you know, it was a busy day and somebody pulled in, and the way they ended up parking, it closed off the one entry exit. So anyway, so we're looking at that. The next is the Naranja Park value engineering. So this is the value engineering layout. So I want to, I'll just start from the north right here. So Tangerine, the Muset Road coming in, the roadway and the parking lot, again, that's going to be a double shot chip seal with a slurry on top. This area will be where the skate park pump track is located. This area is the remote control airstrip. This area right here is bladed and will be ready to construct future rectangle sport facilities. But that was part that was scaled down in order for us to meet budget. The new sport fields will be here, and then it will also include a walkway and a restroom. We will be adding four pickleball courts here. The roadway, the new roadway will have, these two additional entries. And then this one coming down here, as well as parking lot. This space right here will be a splash pad. And then, of course, some a pretty minimalistic maintenance facility. So that's the project. We did a oops, let me get rid of Carlos. Can you help me get rid of? Oh, thank you. For the splash pad, we had two designs from our project design team. We pushed that out on social media. It was on for about 2 weeks. We had 950 votes in a matter of 2.5 weeks. And it, by a landslide of 69%, option B was chosen. And that's the one with the slide. But what I wanted to show you is both of the projects included shade sail shade structures. So this area right here is basically the wet space. That's the splash pad. When you come in, then this area is the dry space. All of it's covered. When you come in, each there's user type zones. So this zone right here is for the younger toddler. The thought is that as a parent, you're really paying more attention to, say, your 2-year-old than your 10-year-old. So if this is the parent zone, you want to be close to your toddlers, to your little ones. This area is a more of an active zone, and this is what was called the dynamic zone. This area does not have shade structure because we have a large tower, and we couldn't put a shade over that large tower. Also, even though it's really hot in the summer, the water's cold and in the shade. Sometimes you want to get in the sun to warm up. Anyway, so let's get rid of this. Oh, yeah, look at that. And this is the winner, option B with the slide. So this is, again, it's going to be fun. We had an OV logo put on our bucket. We had a custom-made arch with the quails, as you know, to as we're entering off of Naranja, just again to keep that fun excitement there, and then the slide. We did have some comments in terms of safety, and you know, kids coming up that slide and kids running across. So we will I will have our design team address that and position it appropriately, so that way we can mitigate that. But quite honestly, this is a bunch of kids running around in a wet environment. They're going to run into each other, but that's part of being a kid, in my opinion. Next, let's clear that.
Would it be okay if I asked a question?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just more I wanted to know. Mm-hmm. Do you have any information on what the ground is going to be surfaced with? I ask because the splash pad at Crossroads Park has become unsurfaced, and like kids slip and like knock themselves out on it. So I'm just very concerned about that thing.
Mm-hmm. Member Varys, I don't know what that is. We did talk to the design team about that, and so if it is a hard surface, we'll put a grip in there of some sort. So, I mean, you know, it might be a little bit rough on kiddos' feet, but it does help prevent with that slippage. Yeah. Anything else? So with the skate park pump track, that was another very unique design piece, right? A soccer field is a soccer field is a soccer field. A restroom is a restroom is a restroom. We don't really need community engagement in that, right? But we needed to talk to those specific user groups. So we had two community meetings with over 40 people participating, representative of the skate community and the cycling community. And through that, two members of our community really kind of rose to the top in terms of being a spokesperson for each of those user groups. So as we progressed and we got direction from council as far as the value engineering, we had to go back to our designer because it was a new site. And as well as financial parameters on designing around the budget. So the designer went back and put together a plan. I met with our spokespeople. They liked it. They thought it was great. They were pleasantly surprised, but they wanted a few modifications. went back to the design team, and then I met again with the two gentlemen, and they gave thumbs up, rave reviews. They can't wait for it to open and use the space. So it's being daylighted right now. This is it. So remember, this is up on that north side, on the north side of Musette. This is north up here. So you'll be coming in off of, you know, Tangerine. Well, you'll be coming in off of Musette, and then this is where you'll come, and then there's parking. We do have a restroom. The landscaping is aesthetic in this design, just so you know. We will have some landscape and whatnot in there. But the intent was this, the southern area is the skate plaza. And then we have a middle concourse, so as people come in, they can ride, walk, and then they can choose which direction they're going to go. And then for the pump track, the people will stack up over here, and then you can enter. And then this gives, the way that this is designed, it gives like options, so you could say, you know, do this, or you could change your mind and come back this way. You could come this way. You could come back this way. You could come up and around. Anyway, it gives a variety. And that was really the feedback that we got from the pump community. And so they're thrilled. They can't wait for this to be built. Again, we're sort of branding the OV over on the east side, design intentional, because, you know, it's an Instagram moment. And we want the mountains in the background. So it was, again, intentional to put the OV, those Insta moments on that side, because we, you know, really utilize the Catalina Mountain Range as part of our branding. So that's our design. This and the splash pad will go up on our project page also. So I think I shared with you, we update the bond project page every Monday. So we'll make sure to put these on the project page so the general public can see that.
I have a question about this real quick, if that's okay. So is it just road getting up to this area? Or if somebody comes in from the nearby neighborhood on a skateboard, can they skate to here?
You know, they can. Why am I? Anyway. Yeah, so it'll be a road. So you can ride your bike. You could theoretically skate. But the road is going to be, it's going to be like rutty because it's going to be a double shot. Yeah.
So you can't skateboard here.
You can't be on a skateboard to get to this destination. So you'd have to walk.
Yeah. And then coming from the parking lot, let's say somebody drove here with younger kids. Mm-hmm. Is the landscape to the both areas going to be like rock and gravel? I ask because I can foresee people not coming all the way down this middle path and jetting in the proper way and just coming straight from the parking lot off and rocks getting kicked down into both of these areas and then causing tripping hazards.
Mm-hmm. That will happen. It will happen. And when bikes come in off the street and then they go in, on the asphalt, it won't be as bad, but if they get into the concrete, because the skate space will be concrete, it creates issues. And so this, you know, maintenance is necessary here, but this is also a community that's used to that. They know that there's rocks. They know that. And so they go in there and they monitor themselves. And, you know, address the space. I know some communities will have I want to call it a wrenching station. So they'll have a little mechanical station where you could say hang your bike or hang your skate park, and they have tools that are all they're all secured. And so if you have a flat or if you need to change something out or you want to change a wheel, you can do all of that on site. So that's another sort of amenity that we're looking at perhaps doing at a later date.
So is it too late then to add some kind of entry parkway to the west side of both of these?
The west side.
Coming straight from the parking lot? You know, just like even
if it's not using this?
Either in addition to, you know, being able to come straight, or will there be some sort of fencing to deter them?
We will have fencing around here. It will be lit also, so there will be lighting, so it can be used in the evenings.
Yeah, I think the fencing would help.
Okay.
I'm not sure where on the map this is located. Is there any sort of, like, if I have little kids and big kids and my big kids are skating, is there anywhere to, like, sit with the little kids while you watch your bigger skate or...
We don't have any site furnishings identified, nor do we have a shade structure. Those were part of our, you know, value engineering piece. As we progress and if there are available funds, I believe it was last presentation when we were talking about the value engineering and the really the number one goal from the board was shade, was, you know, if there is extra money, if there's some funds available, add more Ramada space, add more shade space. And so that definitely is something that's missing. And this is, even if we plant trees, it is. And so, so it'll take a while for the vegetation to grow. So having some of those just static shade spaces. Okay, so... thank you, Carlos. And then the Park Bond Project, so the multi-use path. So the Naranja MUP multi-use path. So Naranja Road from La Cañada to First on the north side will have an MUP constructed. Public Works Division was able to get a pretty substantial grant to secure funding for that entire strip. So that's currently in design. We're working, we're gonna be working also collaboratively with the water utility, because they're looking at having a project on Naranja Road in that vicinity as well. So we wanna make sure that we don't go in and put our path and they come and rip it up to put we're working collaboratively with them so that way the dominoes fall as they need to fall. And then the other piece is La Cañada, from Naranja down to Lambert on the west side of the road. It's basically filling in the gaps. There are some portions that have a sidewalk, some that don't have any. And so we're really going in there to fill the gap so there's some continuity coming down.
Christy, with respect to multi-use paths and bicycle paths, what about that section north of Oro Valley Marketplace that goes up to Rancho Vistoso? There's a segment of that that's a little more than halfway up that's paved. What about getting that paved to Rancho Vistoso, the status on that?
So, Member Saleta, so while that's not part of the bond project, that's a loop connection. And so, the Chuck Huckleberry loop that runs throughout our system, goes underneath Tangerine behind the Oro Valley Hospital continuing north, and it aligns with the bank protection. That's all constructed with Pima County through Pima County Flood Control District. So it got to a point, we were working with landowners because it was publicly held, so we've worked through that. Now we're waiting for the Pima County to finish design, identify funding to complete that project. I don't have a timeline on that yet, but certainly if I do, by the time we meet next, I'll include that in my report. And thank you for the leeway.
Mr. Saleta had no idea it wasn't part of the project.
So that concludes my report, if you have any other questions.
So are you going to have a timeline soon?
Oh. I do have a timeline. I'm glad you brought that up. I have a rough timeline. Oh. I have a rough timeline as it relates to Naranja Park, because I think I've identified what the other ones are in terms of like the parking lot where we are and the others are in design. So this is like sort of big picture generalization because we're still working with the contractor. We're still going through some GMPs, but fields 5 and 6, we are focused on that now, hyper-focused, because that is the one time-sensitive piece because we have to get grass planted and when it's hot, so in that May time frame. So that grass will be planted, so that means all the utilities and infrastructure need to be included in that, and then as well as getting the lights set. It needs to get established, growth, and then go dormant. Likely, I will open the fields in January, February of 24. So that way, the root system, the longer it can rest and really establish, the stronger it will be when that Bermuda starts to bloom back up in late spring of 24. Muset Road, so from Tangerine down to about here, right? Because from there to there, that whole roadway is the new roadway. So we're looking right about late summer, early fall for that to be open. We will not have access here because this project, the skate park pump track space, will be one of the later things that come up. So that area will still be fenced off. The airstrip, probably along the same timeline as Muset Road, again, late summer, early fall. Parking lots and pickleball court, so again, sort of access to this space. We're looking near the end of this calendar year in terms of when we can open that up. And then the skate park, pump track, splash pad work, we're looking at completing that early 2024, so say, you know, the first quarter of 24.
So, Christy, I think I asked this before. Did they lay electrical and irrigation for those fields that are not going to be fully built out?
The conduit will be there. Everything will be ready and stubbed out.
Can we get you to speak into the microphone, sir?
Just kudos to you on setting up that amphitheater at Riverfront for the entertainment. It's long overdue.
Oh, thank you.
Christy, with respect to the new multi-sports field, how conducive are they to softball, baseball, those types of things?
Member Saleta, they're not. The intent was rectangle fields. That was part of the master plan that was in here. There's more use on a rectangle field. There's youth soccer, adult soccer, youth co-ed soccer, youth boys soccer, youth girls soccer. There's lacrosse, co-ed lacrosse, girls lacrosse, boys lacrosse, adult, young. We also have a very strong football league. As it relates to diamond fields, it's pretty limited to the diamond sport. So as part of the master plan project, one of the things we did was looking at how the town of Oro Valley can help improve the amenities at Coronado K-8. So because we have a lot of Oro Valley residents who play Little League, so the Little League jurisdictional line generally is everything north of Naranja. It plays in Oro Valley Little League, and their home space is at Coronado. So in this fiscal year, we have a commitment, $150,000 commitment for a restroom to be installed in there. So we've been working closely with AMFI in the development of an intergovernmental agreement. I actually met with their facilities person last week to talk about the site plan, logistics, site access, and all that, so that way that can be built into the IGA. So that's our commitment to diamond sports I guess, sort of north of Naranja.
Yeah. Christy, just a question on the Conquistador irrigation improvements. Has the golf course management or you or the water utility taken a look at, has there been any savings of water in terms of the project, and is it working as planned?
Member Saleta, yes. So I believe off the top of my head we were looking at approximately 20 acres of turf reduction as part of the project in total. So that's between both of the projects. So it's going to be obviously a two-year project. So yes, we're halfway there in terms of efficiencies and you know, mainline breaks, lateral breaks. We have seen significant improvement. Yeah. You're welcome.
I think you might have already talked about this before I was here, but my question is, so this is a long timeline, but what is the likelihood that what we have right now, I mean, like, finances seem to be changing daily with inflation and the market, like, is this still in flux? This is like a hope, but like, it seems like a lot could change in the next year or so.
Member Veras, there's certainly uncertainty in the market, but we're working very closely with our contractor and locking in a GMP, a guaranteed maximum price for specific projects to align with the council directive with the environmental, with the value engineering cost parameters. So we are working with that. If something comes back and it's completely out of left field, we're going to have to push pause and then, you know, go back and revisit. What do we do? Do we push pause on this for future investment? Do we look for additional funding? There's a variety of ways to address it. But fortunately, we have not come to that yet. But as you're right, I mean, just, you know, the volatility of the market right now is something that you know, we're facing as an organization, people are facing as residents, and it certainly is something to be that we're being very mindful and conscious of. You're welcome.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is the director's report. Christy.
Thank you, Ms. Wilson. You know, this month I celebrated my 10th anniversary with being the director of Parks and Recreation for the town of Moro Valley. And thank you. And it has been awesome. When I got here, they were finishing the Aquatic Center renovation. Steam Pump Ranch, there was no grass, there was no parking, there were no events. We had one building restored. Vistoso Golf Course was a golf course. El Conquistador Golf Course was a country club. We had very little programs. We had maybe about 5 special events a year. And now we have an event every weekend. So at least 52 times a year. Sometimes we have multiples on the weekends. We have them during the day. As you heard today, now we just acquired another over 200 acres of open space for our community. So in 10 years, Little Oro Valley has embraced with open arms and open heart parks and recreation, and it has been awesome to lead that. So with that, I don't even know why I brought that up. That's not on my meeting notes. Anyway, my point being, I think I looked at the clock and it's 8:45, and in 10 years, I've never had a parks board meeting last until 8:45. So here we go. I guess I don't know if that's the new norm, but here we are. Special events. So one of the events I brought to this community was the Hot Cocoa 5K on New Year's Day. So this year we hosted our 9th annual, and it was cold and rainy and wet, and we still had over 300 people show up. It was the best. And we have, even though it's not a parks event, it's taking place at Naranja Park. So the Arizona Heroes Memorial, the former Veterans and First Responders Memorial, they've been at it, you know, fundraising, and they're going to be doing a groundbreaking at Naranja Park on Tuesday the 28th at 11 o'clock. So if you're interested, go to their website and RSVP. But I would imagine if you don't RSVP and show up, they'll let you in. Our move across to ranges, so this has been a partnership hike event, hike experience where we've partnered with Marana. Again, we are sold out. We even increased the capacity from 300 to 350. We're completely sold out. The event's February 25th. If you have nothing to do, we need volunteers. All right, so this gentleman in the green. Oh, you're hiking. Okay, yay! We have hikers, but we also need volunteers. So if you have interest or you want to volunteer someone, refer them to John Schumacher here on my right. The Steam Pump Ranch, again, you know, like I said, it was just sort of like a dust bowl there. It was not a desirable place, and that has now become one of the most popular destinations in our community because of the diversity of programming. And then the uniqueness of the story of the ranch. So it's pretty cool, and we've started our concert series. So it's the first Friday, last Friday. Go to the website. We have some great bands. Our extravaganza, so this is another one, right? So on April 1st, we are going to be throwing out thousands and thousands of plastic eggs because we are on a budget. We can't afford the real eggs. At JDK Park, so that's a fun event if you want to go, and I'm sure John would take some volunteers for that event. And then our Celebrate Oral Valley is at Steam Pump Ranch again. That's on April 8th, and it's just a wonderful event that really tells the story of Oral Valley and talks about our pillars, our foundational pillars. Project-wise, in December, we hosted a ribbon cutting. At Steam Pump Ranch, we completed the restoration of the garage building, and it is open. And I tell you, it was a respite at the Hot Cocoa 5K. We don't have anybody from fire, and Cheryl doesn't count. we probably had about 60 people in that little building trying to get out of the cold and rain just to, you know, hear their name, that who won. So anyway, so it's working, it's functioning. We're excited to have it. The Aquatic Center, we were closed for a couple months to get new filters and to put a scale to it. The filters are about this tall, and if you doubled the width of this desk, they're about that. They're massive. So that was a full-on project. We had to knock down walls, extend it. We emptied the pool. We scrubbed it, cleaned it. We have new diving boards, upgraded dive blocks. It's a brand new facility. And the beauty of it is, I mean, I'm not sure if Member Saleta will agree, but the quality of that water may be pretty darn close to the quality coming out of your tap. Just, it's so efficient. So as far as an athlete swimming, it's tremendous. Let's see, what else did we do? Oh, and then the community center. So we're going to be closed. The fitness sports portion of the community center will be closed, next week, Monday through Wednesday, the 27th through the 1st. All of the weight equipment, we acquired the weight equipment when we bought the property, and I don't know, I mean, it's, old, and the pin and plate pieces just are outdated. We can't find replacement parts, so we're removing all of that, and then we're getting new equipment brought in. And then racquetball court number one, the first one when you walk in, we're removing the glass, and we're making that into we're calling our recreation lounge, and there'll be a shuffleboard, foosball, ping pong, there'll be gaming systems and furniture, so it's really like a cool hangout in a recreation center. So super excited about that project. And then programming, spring break is coming up. So of course we have our traditional camp at the community center, as well as our ICANN 2 camp. And the ICANN 2 camp is for children with disabilities. And then we have my favorite camp is the nature camp, and that's out at Catalina State Park, and they get to hike, and they make atlatls, and they dig in the dirt, and they build forts, and they eat hot dogs, and
they just have a blast. They're just kids in nature. And then, you know, for the older kids that are maybe jockeying for a job in the summer, we have a lifeguard certification class also happening that week at the Aquatic Center. So it can position young people for summer employment. And then we have pools that are open year-round, so it provides an opportunity for year-round employment. So with that, that concludes my report.
Mr. Chair, one of the big problems with questions after a report is it wasn't agendized such that we could have a big discussion. So the questions generally have to be topical at this point, but then that leads into your next item. If you heard something you want to hear more on, I will announce it. It's future agenda items.
I suppose just an update on the Narana Park, you know, the scheduling would be good.
Yes.
That's your chair, Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
Before we do, I just want to make sure everybody knows that March the 15th, at the town council meeting, the Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve will be on the agenda. And our next meeting is April the 18th, here or over there?
Chair Wood, we're going to work to get it here because I anticipate another crowd.
Great. So unless anybody has anything else, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second, somebody?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Meeting is adjourned.